Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three martinis coming up.
We actually have a good martini for the first time this week. And the good martini is that the president's doing a terrible job. But it's not actually that. It's really that the president is doing a terrible job. At least the American people are aware of it. So that's headed in the right direction in some ways. Glad you're with us. Your stool is ready. We also have Bad and Crazy, of course. New poll from Quinnipiac showing that President Biden sitting at 42% approval rating. Hot Air has the image of Biden with his chin on his hands after one of his Afghanistan speeches, which is pretty appropriate for this particular poll because, you know, Biden had been polling pretty well. We haven't been in favor of virtually any of his policies, if any at all, but he had been doing really well with approval ratings, high 50s, low 60s for much of the first few months. And then Afghanistan really was the tipping point, but I think there are other issues that people are frustrated about as well, which we've talked about. The border, his numbers have been south on the border for a long time. And of course, inflation. The economy's not where a lot of us wanted it. And now he's underwater because he's at 50% disapproval. His approval in the rolling average of Real Clear Politics is down to 45%. So he's underwater there. His disapproval is at 49.9%. Driving this most of all, Jim, is his handling of Afghanistan, as we just mentioned. But overall on Afghanistan, disapproval 65, approve 31. It's 91-8 among Republicans, only 62-35% Democrats in favor of how he's handled it, which is kind of amazing that they can actually admit that they think that or want us to believe that. Independents, though, 68% disapprove of his handling of that, only 24% approve. And so that's obviously driving a lot of that. He seems to have lost independence, at least for the moment. So what's the takeaway here? It's a long time before Joe Biden's on the ballot. It's a long time even before the midterms. So how significant is this?
I think it's something that's worth keeping an eye on. We knew that the president's numbers were going to take a hit as soon as Kabul fell and the news out of Afghanistan was so grim. But we're now several weeks beyond that. I think it's safe to say that this news has been absorbed by the public and digested by the public. And I think, as I wrote in today's Morning Jolt, in a lot of ways, the news cycle is moving on. I'm still writing about it a great deal. You can still find coverage of Afghanistan, but it's not front and center, in part because there's other big news things going on that we're going to talk about in a second, like the news about General Milley or the, you know, California recall and things like that. But also because the news cycle almost inevitably moves on, unless it's something like the COVID-19 pandemic, something that like affects everyone's lives on a daily basis. So Biden may well have been gambling. Okay, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a messy withdrawal. It's going to look bad. But within a couple of weeks, Americans will forget about it and I'll be fine. I think you can say that the news cycle has largely moved on, but I don't think the Biden image certainly has not recovered. And I think that, you know, with further bad news, further bad news on inflation, further bad news on the border, further sense this pandemic that he promised he was going to shut down is not shut down. That all of a sudden, there's a kind of a theory of during those worst couple moments, not to suggest that there are any particularly good moments in the way this administration handled Afghanistan, but the moments of like, you know, that was 4 or 5 days ago. That really took a shot at what was the image of Joe Biden that was sold to the public in 2020, that he was wise, that he was stable and would bring order to both the at home and abroad, that he was empathetic and caring. And all these things just really got hammered by an utterly disastrous withdrawal. And so if you put bad COVID numbers, bad Afghanistan numbers, and bad inflation numbers, eventually this just becomes too much to overcome. And the two things that jumped out at me in that first top line number of, do you approve of the way Joe Biden is handling his job as president? We expect him to do badly amongst Republicans, and his numbers amongst Democrats usually aren't that bad. 88-7 isn't terrible, although I'm sure that usually you prefer that to be above 90%. But the numbers on independents, 34% approval, 52% disapproval. That's bad. And the other number that really jumps out at me, women's approval of Biden is down to just almost an even split, 47% approve, 45% disapprove. Now, that's the bread and butter for the Democratic Party. Women voters, that's where they run up their numbers and offset their numbers amongst men. And oh, by the way, there's almost a 20-point split among men in this, 36% approve, 55% disapprove. And let's also just keep in mind that generally speaking, in Quinnipiac, if you're going to characterize it as a little bit Democratic leaning in its numbers, not egregiously, but generally this is the one that would have the worst numbers for Trump during the Trump presidency. You look at their Senate races and stuff, not by a ton, but by a few points. So if a Democrat is getting really bad numbers in a Quinnipiac poll, that should be a giant flashing neon sign saying danger. So again, yes, it's early, but I guess the other thing is that, you know, even if Biden manages to keep Afghanistan out of the headlines, which some of us will be doing our best to not allow that to occur, it's not like he can point to great numbers on and COVID, at least so far. It's not like he can point to great numbers on the border, great numbers on inflation, things like that. And oh, by the way, you know, this Quinnipiac poll was right after his big vaccine mandate speech, which if you thought that was going to turn things around, there's at least so far no indication that was going to do it. So look, this is a, you know, the president is in a really rough spot. And my suspicion is, like, this is where ideally a president would look at what he's doing and say, oh, wow, this is not really working. People don't like it. Maybe I should rethink some things. My suspicion is that they'll conclude, oh, we need to get back to what worked for us, what got us elected, which was talking about Donald Trump and bashing Donald Trump and all that kind of stuff. Presidents who get themselves in trouble have this tendency to go back and want to play the greatest hits again, because that's what, you know, got them where they were. And very often it doesn't work because the circumstances have changed and the problems have changed. They are attempting to use a screwdriver on a nail, so to speak.
Well, I think you're exactly right about that. And I think it also perhaps tells us, you know, which issues matter more, because the polling that I've seen from Morning Consult, different company than this one, this is a Q poll, showed that for the most part, his vaccine mandates, which we think are way over the pale constitutionally and otherwise, you know, those are receiving pretty strong approval by 20 points in most cases, at least. And so it's obvious that an issue like Afghanistan, stranding Americans, and just the completely chaotic and disgraceful way that we left Afghanistan matters most, and it's settling more in the minds of people than whatever he's trying to do right now to distract us from that.
Yeah, but it may very well be that even if, you know, if public agrees with a particular move the president makes, it may not be enough to change their opinion of him. You see Republican candidates campaigning in African-American communities on school choice. And the good news is for Republican candidates is that, yes, many, many African-Americans support school choice. They want to see it expanded. They want to see more options. But in many cases, that's not enough to change the voting preferences for the Democratic Party. One issue by itself isn't going to do it. In this case, you know, maybe Biden's, you know, vaccine mandates are popular. I imagine a lot of people who are fully vaccinated already feel like, yeah, fine, make the other people do it. I don't really care about that. But I don't think that's going to be enough to make them say, oh, I can now forget the images of the, you know, young boy falling from the airplane. Or I can, you know, I can ignore the fact that the president is, you know, kind of shrugging his shoulders about, you know, American green card holders and our Afghan allies stuck being there and in some cases being tortured to death and executed.
Wow. Very well said. Very well said. We'll see how the numbers hold up or how they change. They're likely to change, obviously, a lot before the midterms, but they didn't factor into California much, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Jim, let's talk about something that will hopefully get the bad taste out of all those horrible Biden policies out of our mouth, and that is the fantastic products over at Quip. You know, you're supposed to brush, you're supposed to floss, and you're supposed to rinse, and now they've got a fantastic mouthwash that completes the oral care routine.
Quip mouthwash kills bad breath germs, helps prevent cavities, and leaves you feeling fresh thanks to a formula that gives your mouth everything it needs and nothing it doesn't. Their four times concentrate has fluoride, xylitol, and CPC. I want to emphasize, listeners, CPC, not PCP. They're not putting you on any crazy drugs or anything like that. But they left out the artificial colors and stinging alcohol that you'll find in a lot of other rinses. The refillable dispenser's compact footprint will fit in any bathroom, big or small. And with five colors and two high-end finishes to choose from, you're guaranteed to find a dispenser that matches your style. This is the one mouthwash you will definitely not want to hide under the sink. Sitting on your counter, it's a beautiful reminder to rinse every day and a subtle way of letting everyone know that your oral care game is next level.
Yeah, this is a fantastic rinse. I've got it on my vanity counter as we speak. All you have to do, once you assemble the dispenser, put in a little water to mix with that four times concentrate, you just plunge down the button, you pour it into your cup, and you rinse. Couldn't be easier. And if you go to getquip.com/martini5 right now, you can get $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. That's $5 off a mouthwash starter kit, which includes a refillable dispenser and a 90-dose supply of Quip's, again, four times concentrated formula at getquip.com/martini5. That's martini spelled out and the number 5. getquip.com/martini5. Quip is the good habits company. All right, Jim, we talked yesterday about the problems with the California recall. The effort to remove Newsom peaked a little too early. The Democrats got engaged. They've obviously got huge advantages with the electorate in California. And so by the time we got to yesterday, it was pretty clear that Gavin Newsom was likely to survive. Turns out the turnout, at least in the early returns that I saw, was pretty abysmal among Republicans and independents. I believe they called it for Newsom surviving within 10, 20 minutes of the polls closing in California, a little after 11 Eastern last night. And so there's some good news and some bad news here. The good news here is that there's really no more allegations that this was shady. I mean, the margin was so huge that it's pretty clear that Newsom survived. Larry Elder said, you know, we need to graciously concede, but the war's not over because hopefully we can save California at some point. It still is going in a horribly wrong direction. But the worst part about last night, Jim, is not only that he survived, but the margin. So now he and the Democrats are basically claiming this is a referendum on the Democratic agenda. Here's how Newsom himself put it about what Californians all said yes to because they decided to keep him as governor.
I want to focus on what we said yes to as a state. We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic. We said yes to people's right to vote without fear of fake fraud or voter suppression. We said yes to women's fundamental constitutional right to decide for herself what she does with her body, her fate and future. We said yes to diversity. We said yes to inclusion. We said yes to pluralism. We said yes to all those things that we hold dear as Californians, and I would argue as Americans: economic justice, social justice, racial justice, environmental justice, our values where California's made so much progress. All of those things were on the ballot this evening.
Jim, I feel like this is very much going to embolden Democrats, particularly in Washington, so we've got to be ready.
Indeed, and by the way, I think there should be an asterisk in Gavin Newsom's remarks when he says they fully support and people voted to support a woman's right to do what she wants with her body, except for vaccinations.
Right.
Then she doesn't have a choice. Then it's then no, sorry, the state knows better. You got to get jabbed. No exception. Sorry. I suppose everyone is conditional on those comparison those two issues. So two things. I guess you could say there's a small silver lining that Larry Elder did not wave the bloody shirt and claim that it was rigged or anything like that. He called for his supporters to be gracious in defeat. But let's also point out that, like, in the end, you couldn't plausibly argue that it was rigged or stolen or something like that. But look, in the year 2020, Donald Trump got more than 6 million people in California to vote for him. If those 6 million people had voted yes on recall, Newsom would be gone by now. At least as of, this morning, the number was something, the yes votes were something like 3.2, maybe 3.3 million, something in that. Now, obviously, you get a much bigger turnout in a presidential election than in a recall election. But if every Trump voter showed up and voted yes, get rid of Newsom, he'd be gone. So the real issue is that barely half of the people who felt motivated to vote for Donald Trump in 2020 felt motivated enough to come out and vote in a recall election. We have complained about the state of the California Republican Party for a really long time. I think this is a colossal failure on the part of the California Republican Party. Did Elder make mistakes? Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. I think my colleague Kevin Smith makes an observation that in the end, what you say to your voters in a state, it's got to be what the voters want to hear. You can't just Kyle Smith, not Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is still complaining about people who didn't like He-Man or something like that. But Kyle makes the observation that, like, a recall election, you needed something to be not just, aren't you irked with Gavin Newsom? It had to be, aren't you irked with Gavin Newsom, and wouldn't you rather have X? And whether you like it or not, California's a pretty darn blue state. You're not going to be able to elect a very conservative Republican. It just, the demographics just aren't there. Sorry, I wish it were different, but it's not. So you got to think about what you can do. Could you elect a Charlie Baker type? Could you elect a Larry Hogan type? You know, is there a Governor Scott up in Vermont, Sununu up in New Hampshire? There are folks who can get a decent amount of stuff done, but who don't have that hard edge. And I just think, running a radio talk radio host who's, I mean, he's really good at what he does, but in the end, Larry Elder's bread and butter and the currency of his realm is controversy. The currency of his realm is to be somebody who's provocative and might, you know, generate an intense emotional response. And I don't know if that's really the sort of thing that can work if you're a Republican in the state of California. Again, I wish it were different, but it is. And I think we see the results of that here. So that not only is the being a combative radio talk show host who courts controversy, not only does that not help in a recall election, it can save somebody like Gavin Newsom, who is, let's face it, you know, he was the face of smug progressive elitism dining at the French Laundry while everyone else, well, restaurants all across the state were closed. This was winnable, but it's just not winnable the way Elder and the Republicans went about it. Here we are, and I think Newsom is going to interpret this as the good housekeeping seal of approval for anything he wants to do for the rest of the time that he's governor.
Exactly. But if you're Larry Elder, you probably need a good nap right now, as well as anybody else who was involved in this campaign around the clock. And so all the products from MyPillow would be a fantastic choice, whether it's the pillows, the sheets, the towels. But we're also talking today about the new My Slippers. The My Slippers, which I absolutely loved, so comfortable, took 2 years to develop to ensure they are the highest in quality and comfort. And right now, you can get 50% off your set of My Slippers with our promo code Martini.
These slippers are durable. You can wear them all day, indoors, outdoors, wherever you like. They are made with beautiful leather suede and have cozy faux fur linings and a sole design for both indoors and outdoors. They come in moccasin and slip-on style. They're available in a variety of colors, and they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 1-year limited warranty. But I have to tell you about the 3-tier cushioning system. The first layer is the MyPillow patented fill. And this is the foam you know and love from your pillow, and they've created a solid layer to provide incredible comfort. The second layer is comfort memory foam. This is a layer of comfort memory foam that provides that micro comfort and support so you can wear these slippers all day. But the third layer is the patented impact gel, which is made from U.S. soybeans and is revolutionary at absorbing impact and relieving pressure.
For a limited time, MyPillow is offering 50% off the new My Slippers. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, don't forget that part, enter the promo code Martini or call 800-874-0104. Now, while you're there, take advantage of the deep discounts on all the MyPillow products, including some of the things I mentioned earlier, like the Giza Dream Bed Sheets and the MyPillow Mattress Topper and the MyPillow towel sets. You can only save that 50%, though, on the new My Slippers with our promo code Martini. Call 800-874-0104 or visit MyPillow.com today. All right, Jim, let's move to our crazy martini now, and that is the story broken by Bob Woodward and your former colleague, Robert Costa, who's now at the Washington Post, along with Woodward, about the actions of Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, during the days before the 2020 election and 2 days after the riot up on Capitol Hill on January 6th. And basically what they're saying here is that Milley took it upon himself, although subsequent reporting suggests that perhaps Defense Secretary Mark Esper at the time was in on this as well, but that Milley, unbeknownst to Trump, made secret phone calls to his Chinese counterpart, General Li Zhaochang of the People's Liberation Army. And essentially, Milley told him he'd reviewed intelligence that suggested Chinese officials believed the United States was planning an attack on China amid military exercises in the South China Sea. So Milley took it upon himself, or with the help of Mark Esper, to tell his communist Chinese counterpart not to worry that he would essentially tip off the Chinese if President Trump, who Milley considered to be unstable at the time, but in both situations, was inching towards a nuclear strike on China. There's no evidence that I've seen so far, Jim, that Trump was actually considering anything close to such an attack on China or anybody else, either before the election, after the election, or anywhere around January 6th. But, of course, with our punditry the way it is now on MSNBC, CNN, and a lot of the blue checks, Mark Milley's a hero, man. But no, Mark Milley is clearly outside what he should have been doing here. What's the ramifications?
Greg, I think one of the most surprising and pleasantly surprising things I've seen in the last 24 hours was Vindman, the former defense official who was a figure in the Ukraine phone call, one who was a vehement critic of President Trump, you know, defying everyone's expectations and saying, well, actually, no, this is not acceptable. This is not within the realm of normal behavior or acceptable behavior for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He goes completely around Vindman is saying, no, Milley's got to go, which I think, gold star for you, Vindman, for saying something that you're existing fan base probably would not necessarily like to hear, and recognizing that not every decision and every act taken in opposition to President Trump is acceptable. I am left with a bunch of questions about this, Greg, high among them. So which country signs the paycheck for General Milley again?
That would be ours.
Is it the U.S. or China? I'm fairly certain we hired him. I'm fairly certain we put him in that position. And I thought there was an oath that he took. It would make the U.S. priority higher than making sure his Chinese counterparts felt good. Now, here's the thing. Is there a scenario in which this is not quite as horrible as it sounds? I suppose if the Chinese were genuinely getting paranoid and reacting like they think a U.S. strike is imminent, there's nothing wrong with the chairman of the Joint Staff saying, we are not planning a strike. There is no indication of any strike. Calm the heck down. But saying, if there's a sneak attack, I will tell you first. I can't get my head around this. And the other thing that I think is like the utterly bizarre philosophy at work. And let's point out that Milley was already under thin ice for his, reading list to look at white rage and diversity and things like that at the Pentagon. Then there was Afghanistan, which is arguably one of the most geopolitical defeats for the United States in many decades. But now you put this on top of it. And the thing that seems pretty clear, at least based on the excerpt we've seen in the Washington Post by Woodward and Costa, Greg, imagine doing this. Imagine you say to the Chinese military, don't worry, if there's a sneak attack, I will call you and tell you ahead of time so that you guys can prepare. Something that sounds treasonous by some definitions. And then imagine, Greg, going and talking to either Bob Woodward or Bob Costa about this. Because fairly, it seemed pretty clear that actually, Milley was the source. There are only so many people who knew Milley did this. So it's very hard to believe Milley would, that someone else would, tell Milley this. So the idea is, I think in Milley's head, this was a really good thing that he did. It was a really brave thing that he did, that he I think he expected to be commended by this. And of course, there are some folks who are saying, yes, oh, thank goodness he said, look, if Trump genuinely was going nuts, we have a 25th Amendment. He could have gone to Esper and said, the president's nuts. He should not be in command of the military anymore. He should not have his finger on the nuclear button. He is no longer capable of executing his duties. Get the cabinet. Let's do this. And who knows how that scenario would have shaked out. Or he could say, I'm not participating in any of this. I resign. But the option you don't have under your, code as a when you take that oath is to say, I'm really worried about how this is going to shake out. So I'm going to call up the Chinese military and I'm going to say, don't worry. I'm going to make sure you guys know about anything we plan on doing against him. It's absolutely bizarre. And I think it indicates a really thorough rot at the top of the Pentagon, which is really unnerving because one of the institutions in our society that still seem to have a little bit of authority, a little bit of trust, a little bit of a sense that when push came to shove, they would always put Americans' best interest first.
What does it take to get fired in this town? I mean, it's What more do you need for
this? The only guy they fired was the guy, or at least he was, ended up in trouble, is the guy who called out his leaders for, you know, abandoning everyone in Afghanistan.
Yes, exactly.
I remember that's the one guy.
Obama pretended to be mad about the IRS scandal for about 5 minutes. He fired the acting IRS commissioner, who was going to leave about 2 weeks later anyway. So it's totally cosmetic. I mean, many heads need to roll over Afghanistan. Wouldn't this give Biden a good opportunity to say, look, even though I've worked with him well, this is conduct beyond the pale, and we just can't have this? You'd think it would be an easy mark for him, but for some reason, I don't think that's going to happen.
This has been a steady process, and it really, what's really kind of interesting is, again, you could point to Obama, you could point to Bush, I think, you know, attribute it to Trump. It's a bipartisan phenomenon, but I think it's a worsening bipartisan phenomenon. The idea, presidents should see their cabinets and the people under them as employees. And if they screw up, they should get fired. Actually, ironically, you know, Trump did get rid of some people, but usually it was over, like, complaining in the press, not necessarily doing a bad job. But, you know, it took forever to get Archuleta out at the Office of Personnel Management after that disastrous hack. Shinseki with the veterans dying waiting for care at the VA. Sebelius and the terrible rollout of healthcare.gov. Like, in each one of these cases, like, I'm upset as an American, but I also kind of feel embarrassed for Obama. And that sense of, like, you know, you were really poorly served by this. You should demand better, Mr. President. And in this case, like, you know, I think Biden, in the end, Biden was the author and the architect of this withdrawal strategy in Afghanistan. But if Biden looked at this and said, yeah, I no longer have faith in Milley's ability to do his duties, please submit your resignation. You know, I'd have respect for Biden. You know, there's a recognition, like, you know what, Milley, you've been there long enough. It's time to move on. Let's get some fresh blood in there. Let's see if they can do any better, because you have now managed to have at least three major controversies and bad decisions in less than a year. And, you know, ideally, you know, other than Colin Powell back during the Persian Gulf War, most Americans don't really know who the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is. It's not a figure that's in the news on a daily basis. And they certainly aren't attached to that many controversies on any given, you know, period of time. But Milley's managed to do that quite a bit lately. And I think that's a strong indicator that it's time for some change in that position.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like that position has gotten more and more political rather than being the independent military advisor it's been. I feel like Pete Pace, Dick Myers, that era was about the last time they weren't kind of more political than military, because Mullen and certainly Dempsey, to some extent Dunford, I mean, it's Milley's probably the worst of all, though. I still don't know why so many people in Washington want to talk to Bob Woodward. I know they want themselves to look good when the book comes out, so they figure if they play along, they'll probably get a better.
It's practicing defensive leaking. You know, I don't know if the other guy's going to leak about me, so I better leak stuff that makes me look good, you know.
Exactly.
It's all part of the, you know, the question is, if you're a government official or recently retired government official, do you want to give your good stuff to Woodward? Or do you want to keep it for your own Washington memoir, which will inevitably be subtitled, If Only They Listen to Me?
I'll give it to Woodward, though. He's still working. As far as I can tell, Carl Bernstein's still coasting off of Watergate 50 years later. So, at least sure. Woodward's still showing up for work. Anyway, Jim, quite a discussion today. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity, National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. Subscribe to the 3 Martini Lunch podcast if you don't already. Also, tell your friends about us as well. We're very grateful for your 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Get us on those home devices. All you have to say is play 3 Martini Lunch podcast. Follow us on Twitter. He's at Jim Garrity. I'm at Dateline_DC. Have a great Wednesday and join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.
Hi, it's Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. Every day, I'm here to keep you up to speed on the most important stories and info that you need to know in your very busy life. And if you're always on the go and you want to stay connected, just download our daily podcast and take it with you. It's a great way to get up to speed on what you need to know and what legacy media may not be telling you. Visit danaradio.com and click on the podcast link or subscribe at iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's talk about 4 Patriots. At 4patriots.com/martini, you can get the new deluxe 3-month survival food kits, which are back in stock. More than 200,000 smart Americans agree this is survival food that tastes good. And look, you just don't know when disaster or some other inconvenience is going to strike and you need to cook meals in a very, very simple way. These three-month food kits give you 688 total servings, or about 8 per day, and they give you about 1,500 calories per day. Great recipes from mac and cheese to pancakes to spaghetti and lasagna. Disaster-resistant packaging, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Also, don't forget about their great deals on the Leafy Greens Hydro Garden Seed Kit, the Four Patriots Bountiful Green Plant Food, the Sauna Wrap Therapeutic Blanket, and the Solar Go Fridge with Solar Panel. You can stash food away and be confident that when a disaster strikes you and your family, you will be ready. Go to 4patriots.com/martini to get the deluxe three-month survival food kit and the peace of mind you deserve. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $97. That's the number 4patriots.com/martini. That's 4patriots.com/martini.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.